This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.
Back Row and Chill with Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
Boom, just hit 4 o'clock. Yeah. That was perfect timing.
It was. The king is back again.
The king and queen of film. No, is that too much?
Too much.
Too much.
Little,
all right. Okay.
A little too much.
I'm just a pauper. Okay, welcome everybody. It's Friday again. The week seems to sort of just zip by.
They do, I'm getting old, man.
And yeah, it's like, what? I'm back here again? Okay, great. But we've got a really fantastic show for you guys today.
It's a great show.
We've got the director of the new film, Porto.
Porto.
And then we've got the lead actor, Tom Meaton, from the new film, The Ghoul, and the executive producer and the director of the same film coming in. We've got so much entertainment news. So much has happened this week.
Yeah, Johanna's got more terrible music, but I will save you. I will save you. Hashtag I will save you.
I got good music. I've been really into it. I've been checking out,
you know what? Next week,
soundtracks.
I'm going to come with some tunes, man.
Okay, fine. We'll have a tune off. We'll have to see. People can vote who's got the best songs. But I'm listening to the Nerve soundtrack from the film The Nerve. Have you seen that? It's great. And The Kingsman. Do you like that film?
Yeah, that's all right.
Had some fantastic soundtrack. And Bridget Jones's Baby as well. It's great songs.
I bet it is.
Fine. You're just not giving me artistic license here, not.
The second trilogy, second British trilogy. What was the first after Bridget, before Bridget Jones?
The first British trilogy?
Yeah.
Adult Kiddohood and Brotherhood.
Yeah. Considering you're one of them, I thought that would have come quicker to you.
I was thinking before Bridget Jones.
Yeah, only a few weeks before, but we got there first.
Oh, was that?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. I've been looking into what the top British films of this year have been. So yes. Later on, we're going to be talking about what was the highest grossing.
Great.
Things, because it's interesting when you look at the figures of what actually bombs at the office and what works and
at the office
at the box office
what bombs at the office, hear the bomb.
We've also got some games. We've got Lucy Patton coming back in to review films. I've seen a lot of films this week, so there's lots to talk about.
I've seen a couple.
Get involved in the show if you've got any questions for me, Noel, Lucy, anybody or any of our guests.
Yeah, email Clark hashtag I will save you from Johanna's name
or chill at foobarradio.com's email address. We're going to shout you out if you email in or tweet us at FUBAR Radio. Right, we're going to go for our first song, and this is the opening song to the film Nerve.
Great.
Which I saw this. It's great. It's got Emma Roberts.
I love Emma.
It was an amazing. And Dave Franco, who I got to interview, but I called him James Franco, so I don't think that went down too well.
No, I don't think it did.
Right, okay, so the first song, it's called Can't Get Enough by Basanji. Basanji? I'll probably sort that name. Sorry.
I will save you.
I can't get enough of you.
good if they timed.
Yeah, it was all right. It was all right. I'll give you that. I'll give you that. It was all right.
It was a good film opener. I really liked it. Really enjoyed that film.
Oh,
no.
Shit, what have I done?
You guys missed it, but Noel just spent the majority of that song trying to adjust his chair to get comfy.
Yeah, yeah. She found it very funny. And now I've just done my Instagram video and it didn't even upload because I'm not concentrating.
Life, you're losing
first
that life
problems.
Today. First world problems.
Yeah.
So what have you, I haven't actually seen you all week. What have you been up to? What have you been doing?
I've been very busy in the busy world of film and TV.
Yeah.
You know, doing press for the show that I'm in. Also went and saw a great film called Moonlight, which I'll talk about later in the in the reviews. And generally taking over the world as I do, man.
Just,
you know,
step by step.
Step by step.
So your TV show, which is The Level, ITV.
On ITV. It's on ITV Fridays.
Friday night.
So that's tonight, by the way.
Yeah.
Prime time, Fridays at 9 p.m. The Level.
Do you watch yourself on Fridays?
I watched the show, 100% watched the show, because I like to see if the scripts that we read have actually translated onto screen.
Yeah.
And it's been received very well so far. It's got excellent Carla Chrome in it. It's got Laura Haddock.
Laura, who...
was in Store of 24.
Who was in... Yeah, I met her for back on the film years ago, or for your film. And she's also in the new Transformers.
She's the lead in the new Transformers.
What?
She's amazing.
I know. Well, I knew that. When you meet Laura, she's... Google Laura Haddock. She's like one of the most stunning... creatures I've ever seen, ever.
Yeah, she's yeah,
and
she's
I, the moment I saw her, I was yeah, just like, oh my gosh, you're gonna you're the next Angelina Jolie. Like,
yeah, so she's
she can act as well.
She can act, so she's gonna be the lead in the new Transformers. She's in The Level every Friday at 9 p.m, which I'm also in, guys. So if you're listening and you like what I do, do check it out. The excellent Carla Chrome, and it's on tonight again.
And it's what's it about? It's like a detective.
It's a detective show. So Carla Chrome is the lead detective. I'm her partner, and she's into the investigation, and she's kind of got a little bit more to do with what's happened than she's letting on.
Are you Laura's partner?
No, Carla's.
Oh, Carla's.
No, wish me. No.
We all wish.
No, I'm Carla's partner in the show.
Oh, okay.
In the show, and it's really good. We also have Rob James Collier from Downton Abbey.
Ooh.
And Lindsay Coulson from EastEnders.
Okay, so you've got a whole range of TV royalty.
Yeah, TV royalty.
TV royalty. And how long is it going to go on for? How many parts?
This is week 3.
Okay.
So guys, you guys should check it out because you can do the... Exactly. It's easy nowadays. You can do 1 and 2 on catch up. And then the third one's on tonight at 9. And there's a lot of twisty-turny stuff in it.
Twisty-turny. I'd love to play detective.
Well, you know, you hang out with the right guy, so
I think,
you know.
Yeah, I used to want to really. Actually, always I thought if I wasn't going to be doing acting and show busy in industry stuff, I'd probably go into police work.
Really?
I think so. I think I'd be a good. Do you think I'd be a good policeman?
Whoop whoop! That's the sound of the police. Whoop whoop! Yeah.
I think so. I'd love it.
My 8-year-old's been singing that.
Really?
I walked past the kitchen the other day, and he was like, "Whoop whoop!" I said, like, "What the fuck is he? What did you?" I said, "Boy, where'd you learn that song from?" He's like, "Angry Birds." I was like, "Oh, okay."
Crazy
okay.
What kids are learning off the internet. Are all your kids all technologically advanced? They can.
No,
they
I don't let them fiddle about iPad. Yeah, but I don't let them fiddle about with the computers too much. I
otherwise,
want them to be kids and play with.
They'll be
toys
off doing
and stuff
stocks
like
and stuff before you can.
Although the oldest one might be good at that. I might put him on a.
Just be like, son, can you make me some?
Make me some money, boy.
I think there is something wrong with the chairs today.
I told you, man.
I'm falling off it.
It's the last show. It's that last show, man. They fiddle around with our chairs.
They've pranked us, and the chairs are all upside down. And
Johanna's skirt's backward now.
I know, and I have my skirt. I wore my skirt backwards for about an hour today. It's not the day, is it?
It's terrible.
But there's been lots going on with the world. I had a little look on the sort of entertainment news.
Yeah, entertainment news, because that's what this show's about. Entertainment,
it's about,
films,
you know, entertainment
TV.
News. And we've got a little fanfare there. It's the entertainment news.
Entertainment news.
On Back Row and Chill. Lovely. That's over the top. Right, so what's going on in the world?
Tell me.
Bob Dylan's been given the Nobel Prize.
Yes.
For his work, or his, like... 50 years of work.
Yeah.
Which has caused a little bit of controversy, people being like, Bob Dylan, really? And other people being like, of course, Bob Dylan.
Yeah,
so
it's Bob.
That's interesting. Do you know that Bob Dylan has, he has a song called Johanna?
I didn't.
And someone found it once and gave it to me, and I always loved it. I was like, that's something with my name on
that's
it. Because my name's hard to say and spell. So I like Bob Dylan just because he made a song about me.
So he should have been awarded the Nobel Prize just for that?
Just for that. Just because he made us, you know.
Yeah.
Cheers, Bob.
Yeah.
Right, so Michael Jackson is the top earning dead celebrity.
Still.
Yeah.
I mean, look, the guy's music was great. I mean, that's the thing. Michael Jackson's music at the time was brilliant. You know, not so much in the later years.
He's dead and making money.
Yeah, but I think
crazy.
It goes. You know, obviously, it goes
where
to
does
his
it go?
Children. I think
does it?
His estate. So lawyers and all that take a big chunk, and then they will filter it through to his. his family and children.
It's a bit crazy.
But I mean, he should be getting a prize because, you know, there's not many people that are born a black man and die a white lady. You know what I mean?
So, there's not many.
But I love Michael Jackson. I saw him live in 1992.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
Was that before or after he got set on fire? 1992.
After. He was still mixed race at that point.
Okay. So he was at, when he, because I obviously growing up, I only knew him as white Michael Jackson. I didn't know he was black. And then I remember someone said, no, he used to be a black guy, and showed me a picture. He was gorgeous.
When he's black?
Wasn't he gorgeous?
No, man. Black don't crack, man.
He was
see what
absolutely
happened.
Gorgeous. And then the, whatever he became later on, I was like,
Man, you know what? You never know. I realized the other day it was like World Mental Health Week. You never know what people are going through. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That doesn't give them excuses to behave recklessly, though. Let me just throw that out there. But. You know what I mean? You never know what people are going through. And
no,
so that,
you,
Michael
no,
Jackson was obviously going through some shit.
Obviously.
Right, let's get back on track to films.
Okay, so Star Wars, the Star Wars firm,
boom,
has been fined $1.6 million for hurting Harrison Ford with his leg injury. Because, you know, he got his leg stuck in the hydraulics of the
So if you guys don't know
Falcon.
This, Harrison Ford, on set of Star Wars when they were filming it, not Rogue One that's coming out in December, which we will review for you. Before you go and see it, but on the film that came out last year, Force Awakens, he was going through the slidey door. You know the doors when you go in a spaceship and they go and they open, and it came down and it crushed his leg and broke his leg, and they had to stop filming.
I know, and he got airlifted somewhere because he was in Pinewood Studios.
So that company has been fined $1.6 million
for like gross misconduct and like safety.
A lot of you at home like, well, Harrison don't need that. It doesn't go to him. It doesn't
so
go
just
to him.
He gets fined. No, the company.
The
have
company
been fined.
Gets fined that, and it goes somewhere, which then goes somewhere, and ends
which
up in some rich guy's pocket. But it doesn't go to Harrison Ford.
Yeah, I mean, you'd think, being like Harrison Ford, have you ever had a bad injury on set? Have you ever hurt yourself? Done a stunt gone wrong, or?
I've had a few things. I've you know, had fight scenes and been punched out and stuff like that, and you know, I did do Casualty years ago, where I had to kind of roll down a hill. And I don't know if I was overzealous, but I swear my neck cracked and I like it's never been the same since. telling you.
Well, like, you don't realise that you're always on the slant.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, do you know when I was younger, I heard it crook because I did it and then it's never bothered me. But like sometimes I'm like, and then I always think about it when I get neck pain. I'm like, I wonder if I like actually injured it that day, like 15 years ago.
Oh, I saw this thing on Facebook today because I like to have a little look through Facebook. And you know the new Assassin's Creed movie that's coming out?
With Michael Fassbender.
With Fassbender, yeah. The director did not want CGI for this like massive jump, like a huge actual drop that the assassin had to do. So they got the actual stunt guy to do 3 real-life jumps, one at 50 foot, no, one at 70 foot, one at 90 foot, one at 125 foot free fall drop. And there's this video going around on Facebook of this poor stunt guy like, wah! And he literally just jumps off
and he does it
and free falls and he
right?
must have been he's fine. He lands on this like, well, it's this massive big bouncy
big
castle
yeah, yeah.
But when you look up at the camera from 125 foot looking down, that doesn't look so big anymore. It's
no,
like,
and you've got to make sure you hit that
thing. What if you catch the wind and just, and it was surrounded by all
he's
these
not made of paper girl.
Well, I don't know about wind. Physics and dynamics
like
and laws
turns
of gravity
into a parachute or something like that.
But like all around the little like bouncy soft bouncy castle was about 8 or 9 trucks. I was like, if he lands on a truck, I don't know.
To keep it in shape, mate. Oh, yeah, that's wow.
But Fassbender's going to get all of the kudos for that now.
Yeah, of course.
He's like, oh, he jumped off 125
foot like, building. Fassy, I love it when you jumped off the thing. He'd be like, yeah, thanks.
Have you ever had a stunt double?
Yes. So I do all my own stunts as much as I'm allowed to. But there's been a couple that they wouldn't let me do. Like in a normally I'd jump through a glass window.
Oh yeah.
And they wouldn't let me do that. So I had a stunt guy. I would have done it though. I was well up for it, but they wouldn't allow me to do it. But other than that, I've done most of my own stunts that you see in the films and all my fights.
I got to throw a brick through a glass window for this Channel 4 thing.
That's exciting.
But what they did no, it was. It was like they were like, you can get the real brick and you can chuck it through the real window. The real brick. And but the stupid people, they put safety glass in there.
So it didn't
which
break.
Will never smash. So no matter how many times I could lob this real brick. And people thinking like, oh, she's, oh, bless her, little girl. Oh, and then someone went, oh, no, it's safety glass. We haven't put the real pane in. I'm like, well, thank you, everybody.
Yeah. Did they change it then?
So then they changed it to the real glass and I did it in one take. And it was fine.
One take, Joe.
One take. Pressure. They were like, we have one pane. You have to get it in the one take. I'm
great.
Like,
thanks, guys.
Okay, thanks, guys. Yeah, cool. Right, I'm going to get on to my music because...
Oh, man.
I want... The Nerve soundtrack's amazing. Actually, this one is from Kingsman.
This one's from Kingsman. Okay, let's
from
see. And guys, let me know if you like Johanna's choice of music, because, you know, like I said, I will save you.
Let's have a vote. Who do you want to control the music next, me or Noel?
Come on. I think we know where that's going.
Well, this is Dizzy Rascal. This is Bonkers.
Okay, I'll give you this one.
Fuck off.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in 2D. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
Bonkers.
Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in 2D. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip.
Bonkers.
Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. And I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Ooh, yeah, I'm man,
in the floor now.
Look, back then, back then,
floor back then.
I wake up every day is a daydream. Everything in my life ain't what it seems. I wake up just to go back to sleep. I act real shallow, but I'm in 2D. And all I care about is sex and violence. A heavy bass line is my kind of silence. Everybody says that I gotta get a grip, but I let sanity give me the slip. Some people think I'm bonkers, but I just think I'm free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me. Some people pay for thrills, but I get mine for free. Man, I'm just living my life, there's nothing crazy about me.
And chill with Johanna James and Noel Clarke on FUBAR Radio.
Why don't I wear my headphones? That's a good question.
It's a good question. You can hear yourself way better.
I do sometimes.
Seriously, pop them on.
Well, see, these ones aren't plugged in for a start.
Pop them on, plug them in.
Fucking help me, is it? Like, I don't know about this technological shit. Where do I plug this shit in?
Where does he plug his headphones in? I like that. I like Dizzy Rascal. I like a bit of that.
I'll give you that one.
Okay, so far you've given me the first two. So boom, it's like two out.
Well, no, I didn't give you the first one. I thought it was okay. Thank you, sir.
All right.
Someone's just. We have minions. One of the minions has just plugged in my head. Thank you, minion. Thank you, minion. Thank you, minion.
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 Okay, right, back to what's going on in the world. Janet Jackson is pregnant at 50.
Good for you, Janet, man. She loves the dick, innit? What can I say? Like, you know, 50-year-old chicks still love dick, man. Like,
50, well, I don't know if it was with a dick, to be fair, because she's 50.
Syringe.
It might have been a syringe.
No way, mate. No
job.
Way. I look at Janet and I think Janet loves it. And her husband or boyfriend or partner or girlfriend or
whoever,
she's with clearly Dog. Loves what she's got going on. Loves the booty.
I mean, I'm happy for her. And they, you know, 50 is the new 40, but
it's not though. It's 50, isn't it? Like, really.
But someone was saying like, whoa, so when her kid's like 20, the mum's going to be like 70.
Yeah, she'll be in school. They'll be like, whose grandma's that? Yeah, that's my mum. Shut up. That's my mum.
I don't know.
Except the kid will be like some sort of millionaire and won't give a fuck.
Yeah, you can just buy their friends. Buy a new mum. Whatever. Yeah. Also in the news, you know Divergent star Shailene Woody?
Woodley. Woody. What's on your mind, Joe?
It's Friday.
Yeah, is that your day? Is that your day with your fella? Your Friday?
It's Friday night. It's chill night.
It's Woody night.
It's
yeah.
Woody night. Yeah. No, Shailene Woodley. Yeah. She's been arrested.
I saw that.
After a... But for like, you know, celebrities get arrested all the time, blah, blah, blah.
I've never been arrested.
Well done.
I'm not a celebrity either, so that probably...
But I think you are.
No,
but
I'm not quite.
Well done, you haven't been arrested. But a lot of American celebrities, I think, get arrested.
I've never been arrested because I run too fast.
You do.
All right, get back to what you're saying.
She's been arrested for kind of a good reason. She was protesting against an oil pipeline in North Dakota. So she joined in with the protest and got arrested like everybody else.
I saw that.
Spent a night in jail.
I did think that was pretty cool.
I was like, actually, that's pretty cool. Yeah.
Yeah, see, but it's cool when Americans get arrested because they can't be banned from America. That's the thing.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah.
Because
like,
you live there. Everyone else in the world is terrified because if you get banned from there, then you go, not that we want to live there with all their guns and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, but you want to go on holiday, don't you?
You want to go on holiday, yeah.
Yeah.
And like sometimes you get arrested in your home country and then you're banned. You've got to fill out that form and you're banned. Whereas if you're there, they don't care because they're like, if I get nicked, I can't get banned from the US.
Yeah,
I?
They're just like, no, live here. Nah.
Yeah.
You can't get kicked. Can you get kicked out?
No, not if you're born there. No,
okay.
You
know.
Can be deported if you're not from there, sure.
But if you live there, out. Boom. That's like those like cocky little kids that are like, yeah, you can't
yeah,
exactly. Get me out.
That's the thing, man. That's the thing.
You got to love me. You're my mum.
But Shailene Woodley, yeah, I mean, so she was great in... my chair's broken again. Every week, what? Minion!
Fix the chair! Then you put on a little bit of weight there,
no? Hey, listen, it's all going in the booty, girl. She was in Fault in Our Stars and was had a tremendous performance in that.
Oh my God, yeah.
The Divergent, I mean, don't get me wrong, it was the most depressing film I've ever seen, and I was like, why am I watching this?
Yeah.
But Divergency, I don't like so much. So tell me if you guys like those.
Yeah, do you guys like the Divergent? I like the first one.
I'm fixing my chair, fucking it's falling apart. You talk, I'm fixing the chair.
Okay, now I like the first Divergent, and I can't actually remember what the second and the third one, they're like Insurgent or... I don't think he can fix his chair. Just squat on the floor, Noel, squat on the floor.
I'm squatting. I am squatting.
Can he fix it?
Mate, I'm like fucking Bob the Builder down here. Like, did Bob fix it? He fucking did. I can do it.
Come on, you can do it. You can do it.
Who makes these fucking chairs? Like, all right, keep going.
I'm gonna keep going. I just feel like I really want to like watch, give you some music so that you can. But you've got 10 seconds to fix the chair, Noel.
Come on, chair.
You tell that chair.
I'm telling you.
Has he done it?
No.
Keep going.
You get on with the show.
Oh, right. Get on the show. Okay. So, yeah. Shailene Woodley has been arrested. But high five to her, I think. Good. What else has been going on? Bit of theatre news. If you're into your theatre, Phantom of the Opera has just celebrated his 30th year.
Phantom of the Opera's 30 years old?
Yeah.
Okay, there we go,
really. It's still going strong in London. And what made me feel old was I went to see the 20th anniversary of Phantom of the Opera 10 years ago.
How did you manage that?
I just went. I didn't know.
No, you see, it's principle. I don't want a new chair. They're trying to wheel me a new chair. I don't want a new chair. I'm fixing my chair. It's the principle. Get on with the show. Stop. She's crying. Johanna is now crying with laughter. I don't know why. It's not that funny. I'm fixing my chair. I'll be back in a second. Hold tight.
Okay. You keep thinking. Oh, we've got an email in. Okay, Noel, so just listen to this while you're doing
listening.
That. So, hi, Noel and Johanna. What do you think of the new Star Wars, The Force Awakens? I didn't like it. I thought it was a rip-off. I love the classics. Carrie Fisher could barely stand up. Never mind act. I'd literally love to know your opinions on this. Gary from Essex.
I'll be with you in a sec, Gary.
I like the new film. Oh my God, the chair's upside down now. This is... I like the new Star Wars Force Awakens. I thought it was funny. I like the new characters. I wasn't offended by any of the new shit that they put in it. I thought it was good. I really like the girl. Daisy. Who played the... Is it done?
I'm 90% there.
Woo!
I think 90%'s enough for now.
Yay!
I'm back, guys.
Go, he's back.
I can write a movie about that, you know.
What, the chair?
The chair fixer. Started Tom Hanks, win Oscars.
I dare you. So yeah, what did you think of Force Awakens?
Is this from Gary?
Yes, yeah, Gary in Essex.
Gary in Essex, hello mate. Thanks for listening, buddy. You'll be happy to know my chair is almost fixed, 90% there. I quite liked it. I agree with you. The classics are the classics, but you have to understand, you know, we were around when those ones were on. For every kid now, this will become the classic.
Yeah, this will be the new.
And the reason it was similar to the original, I guess, was because they're kind of restarting the story for a whole new generation. So it kind of wasn't for us in that kind of way. But if we love the other ones, we were supposed to love it. I understand why you don't like it, but I did like it, and I liked John Boyega specifically playing Finn. Thought that was brilliant.
I know, he was amazing, wasn't he?
So Gary, you are a very smart man, but on this occasion we just happen to disagree, but keep listening.
Yeah, no, thank you very much. If anyone else got any other reviews on films that we're talking about or films we haven't talked about, what are you seeing? Let's get a conversation going.
Yeah, right. Apart from Brotherhood, what have you liked?
Apart from Brotherhood, because we're assuming you all loved that. Right, I'm going to go to my next song. So let's have a little look at what we've got on here. What can I pick? I feel like so much pressure now.
Yeah, please.
Because you're going to just absolutely... Okay, we're going to go for another high-paced one. This is called Ride by Lowell.
Ride.
I will save you.
Right. It's from the Nerve soundtrack again. So,
Ride, eh?
Yeah, let's check it out. Ride. Yo, kiss me, you know that you miss me. Get on the bike and go. Ride it like you stole it, floor it. I don't like the road, I adore it, adore it. I can see it in stars in your eyes. I can see it in stars in your eyes. I can see it in stars in your eyes. Stars in your eyes. Love is in the air. Speed demon, my little angel. Pick up the pace like danger. Moving on to our first guest of the show.
Yes.
Which is Gabe Glinger, the director of Porto. It's a new film. It's going to be showing at the BFI London Film Festival. I've seen it this week.
Fantastic.
It's starring Anton Yelchin and Lucy Lucas. I think we've got Gabe on the floor. Let's see if technology
is
will...
he here? Is Gabe here?
He's going to be online.
That would be fantastic.
So let's see if Gabe... Here. After Gabe, are you with us?
Yes, I'm here on the line.
Hello.
Hello,
thank
sir.
Thank you so much.
Oh, thanks for having me.
No, not a problem. So I was just explaining to our listeners that I went to see Porto. I saw a screening of it earlier in the week, and it's also is showing at the BFI London Film Festival at the moment, so if other people want to check it out, they can.
And please do, guys.
Yeah. And
yes, it's screening tonight, actually. Oh, tonight. At the Curzon Mayfair. Mm-hmm. At 9:15.
Boom, 9:15. Perfect. Guys, so put the level on Sky Plus or whatever and go out and watch Porto.
Go out
Curzon Mayfair.
And
thanks. If you're lucky, I may be in the lobby and they may have an extra ticket for you.
Ah, fantastic.
Some listeners want to show up, they may get a lucky ticket.
There you go, guys. Turn up.
So the film, it stars, and it's one of the last projects of Anton Yelchin, who sadly passed away this year. It was this year, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah. Mm.
And was he able to see the final film?
Oh, yes. Yeah, he was. I mean, we were quite finished by that point.
Okay.
Yeah. No, you know, there was a very collaborative, very hands-on relationship. You know, some actors step off a set and you never see them again.
Mm.
That certainly wasn't the case with Anton. We were in touch, you know, daily.
Great.
So Anton was, it was just the nature of the collaboration. It was just the way that we kind of set it up. And
how long was your process with the actors? How far in advance of shooting had you cast them? And, you know, did you have an extensive rehearsal process? Because I'm guessing with a film like this, you kind of need to, get the actors familiar with each other, really go through the rehearsal process. So kind of just tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, there were, you know, you start with discussions, and with both of the actors that went on for several months before pre-production.
Mm.
And then pre-production is when you're actually all, you know, you're finally, everyone's together and on the ground in Porto, and we're all in the same, you know, hotel, and we were, you know, having breakfast together daily and then starting our day talking and then, you know, eventually getting into the rehearsals. And we did about 2 weeks of that.
2 weeks rehearsal,
I'd allocated about two very intensive weeks to be able to do that. So, I think it's absolutely important.
It's imperative, yeah. I just, you know, because this film is, you know, quite, obviously there's lots of intimate scenes as well. It's like, you know, that was really where I was coming from. I direct myself as well and produce, and, you know, my film is currently very high in the box office in the UK, just throwing that out there. But this is about you, sir. So also, what I wanted to know is, when you have an unfortunate situation like we had with Anton, how does that affect, you know, because this show is about people understanding our business and getting into our business, and I want them to understand how does it affect a film like yours when your lead actor suddenly and unfortunately passes away?
I mean, you know, fortunately, it's something that I don't really think about. I don't have to think about it. My work with Anton, it was in the film, and he was alive while we were making the film, and so what happened afterwards is completely separate from our film. It's not something I think about as somehow connected to the movie.
Sure.
I think about it as this random separate thing that happened. And
no,
so,
of course, but does it hinder does it hinder it in terms of sales? You know, because we all know that I know as a filmmaker, you know, sometimes your film, you know, it lives or dies on the sales you get and where it goes and the life it has and the press tours and all this kind of stuff. And it's just like trying to get the audience to understand, you know, how these things can be affected, you know, and how has it been for you guys?
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think about that stuff. It's the, you know, maybe I should, I don't know, but it's not, you know, it's something I just kind of leave the sales and marketing people to talk about and decide. I have very strict restrictions about that.
Sure.
You know, I don't, like, for example, nobody can enter into a deal with a distributor where they could put it on the poster, like, you know.
No, of course
something,
not.
Something exploiting the, you know,
no,
anything
course,
like that.
Yeah.
So we want the release to be very tasteful and very appropriate. And, I mean, look, you know, if you look at the film, it has this sort of elegiac quality to it. It is about the memory of loss and all this stuff. So, of course, you can't help but think of things that sort of happen. But everybody's going to bring their own experience into the movie. And in, you know, I hope in 10 years' time, if people are watching the movie, they're not directly thinking about what happened to Anton.
No, of course not.
You know,
no.
So that's the way I view the film now.
Basically. I think for people who who haven't had an experience of the film, or they don't know what Porto is about. So Porto is the it's the main town in Portugal, isn't it?
Portugal,
the capital. It's where you filmed. Did you film?
Indeed,
or did you film in Paris as well?
we did film in Paris as well. We just the one brief scene, but no. Porto is a very industrial city in Portugal. It's or a very industrially robust city in Portugal. It's Lisbon is the kind of the cap. You know,
My wife's from Portugal. So.
Yeah, but Porto is it's a very important working class city, and it's a very you know the river the Douro that flows through it. You know, is connects a lot of the the city with the trade, you know, international trade and things like that. And,
So I wanted to ask you, as a as a filmmaker myself, like what inspired you to create such a beautiful film? Like where did the story idea come from? Because I see you are the co-writer as well as the director. So, you know, what was it that inspired you to come up with this story?
I don't, you know, it's you come up with an idea. I mean, first I came up with the sort of formal concept of the film of working with these different supports, you know, these different gauges, Super 8, 16, and 35 millimeter. And then I you know, created the story around that. It's a little counterintuitive because usually you come up with a story and then you come up with the form. For me, it was the other way around.
Right.
I wanted a story that could fit into this, and so I thought a love story could be appropriate where, you know, you have this sort of thing where you're kind of telescoping the love story as you learn more about what happened to these two characters. You get into 35 millimeter, which is just more immersive and more detailed, and you know all these things. So
just for all the fans out there who don't understand what that is. So you shot basically over three different types of cameras, and you did
film stock.
Super 8, which is super old, really really old film.
Yeah, well, they're all very old, you know. Actually, the oldest film format is 35 millimeter. It's been around for about 130 years. After that, they started making 16 millimeter because it's more portable. That was actually something like so they could go off and shoot in the war, you know, in wars. It was like a lightweight, you know, cameras, things like that. And then home movies could be made in 16 millimeter. And then Super 8 was like the next, you know, generation after that, you know, where but it was first. It was just regular eight millimeter, and there was even like 9.5 millimeter. There are all these
and Super 16
formats that no longer
and
exist.
So I shot my first feature on Super 16.
Cool.
And my second one was on 35. And my last two have been digital. Alexa, what's your favorite? What do you prefer? Are you like I kind of prefer film myself, but. You know, there's arguments about stock and blah, blah, blah. Where do you sit with that?
Well, I think it's, you know, digital is great for certain things and film is great for other things. And for us, it was never a discussion. This film had to be shot that way in these formats. I was never going to give up that.
But generally, you know? Would you like know, for your next film, for example, would you if they said right, we love what you did on Porto, but on this film we want one choice, Would you do 35?
Oh, I do 35. Yeah, 35 millimeter for sure. It's still the best, I think. Yeah, even if I think if I did another documentary, my last film was a documentary. If I did another documentary, I would do it digitally. Yeah. I'm fine with that because you really. The facility of being able to leave the camera on and, you know, that kind of thing, and just shooting, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours. You can't really do that anymore on film, unfortunately.
That's right.
So you have to have, you know, you have to execute a pretty
tight
rigorous
ship.
It has to be a tight ship.
I'm with you, because there's something about the discipline of, as a director, of knowing you're on 35 and knowing what you want instead of just going, shoot everything. And I think it's
definitely.
Yeah, exactly. It's a great discipline.
Can I just ask a question about your leading lady, Lucy Lucas?
Please.
Just how did you find her? Did you see her in something else, or did she come into audition? Because she was so beautiful and amazing and interesting to watch on screen.
She did come into audition.
Okay.
She was somebody we found in the casting process, which is just kind of magical that somebody could come in like that and just kind of knock you out. She just gave such a great reading. She was, you know, I told her, you know, I didn't cast her right away based on the first reading. I said, you know, I have to think about it. But I gave her the script, the full script, because at that point she hadn't read it. And she came back in 2 or 3 days with, like, you know, the whole thing was annotated, and she said, what I think about this character, and and I just said, oh, well, this is great, but it was great, and not in, like, oh, this is going to be annoying to work with somebody who picks everything apart. It was more of like, wow, she's got some really great ideas here. You know, like, this is going to be a great collaboration. So she fought for the job. Mm-hmm. You know, it's her first starring role. Yeah. It's her first role in English. And she just nailed it. She wanted it badly, and you know, we knew we needed somebody like that on a tiny movie like this.
Of course, who's gonna be yeah. there at, like, when you're losing light and you've got two shots to get and you can only get one and you're like rolling the ground. You need someone who's gonna roll on the ground. Man, I feel you, man. Like, I know, because I've done it like a few times.
Yeah, sure.
I was so impressed by her.
Yeah.
I really, really enjoyed it. So, well, thank you so much for spending time and, like, letting us know. So tonight at the Curzon, you can catch Porto.
9:15.
Yeah, brilliant.
Yeah, indeed. We're going to show it tonight. Tonight's our last showing at the BFI London Film Festival, but I hope not our last showing in London.
I'm very sure you will get a release, and it's going to be great. And Gabe, I appreciate you, because I'm a director as well, so I get it. So thank you so much for
your film,
your art, and for everything.
Thanks for your time, Gabe. Thank you.
I really appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. Bye.
Take care.
Cheers, buddy.
Cool. Right, I'm going to pop on my next song. This is Soap by Melanie Martinez. No one's rolling his eyes at me. Are you going to give me grief on every single song? This girl is talented. I interviewed her earlier this year, actually, and she's this tiny little weird little American girl, and she sings one
she
of her
sounds like a hobbit.
One of her songs is now like the theme tune for American Horror Story. So
great.
She's cool. So this is Soap.
Because she's a hobbit.
I will save you.
All right, let's pop this on. We'll be right back. We've got loads of emails coming in, so we'll be right back after this song, and we'll be shouting you guys out.
I think I just remembered something. I think I left the fart set running. Now my words are filling up the tub. Darling, you're just soaking in it, but I know you'll get out the minute you notice all your fingers pruning up. I'm tired of being careful, tiptoe, trying to keep the with bubbles. Then I'll put the towels all away. Should've never said the word love. Threw a toaster in the bathtub. I'm sick of all the games I have to play. I'm tired of being careful, tiptoe, trying to keep the water warm. Too much, it over.
Radio.
Boom, back row and chill.
No. Okay, she sounds like she's playing instruments in a bathtub. Like, I was. Tell me, guys, if you're feeling that song, because I was not feeling. I think she was. I'm like, listening to the song, I'm like, this is all right. Then suddenly it's like, what is that about?
She's bringing something new. She's bringing something new to the table. Man, yeah. Right, we have got a plethora of emails in.
Love
so
it.
Let's.
By the way, guys, Diana has a dictionary on her lap, so that's where she gets those
plethora.
Words from.
Plethora. I'm just googling these words. I don't know what they are. Right, so we've got one. Okay, I'm just going to go back in the order. So we've got from Gemma in West London. Hi, Noel and Johanna. Did you guys see The Hateful Eight last year? I love Tarantino. He's my favourite, but I know he's of a certain taste. What did you guys think?
Gemma in West London. Okay, yeah. Listen, mum, listen. Stop emailing the show, okay, mum? All right?
My mum emails too. I think it's just our mums that are emailing.
She's called Gemma's mum. I'm sure it's not my mum. So she didn't like The Hateful Eight.
She said that I love Tarantino. He's my favourite, but I know it's of a certain taste. What do you guys think? I like Tarantino.
Yes, I love
Django
Quentin. Okay, filmmaker. Like, The Hateful Eight, script-wise, is not brilliant. You know, not a lot happens, you know, and a lot of it is based on tension, but that can work as well. Okay, Tarantino is obviously a great filmmaker, so you know, it's shot very well. He knows how to tell a story, so yeah. In that regard, and as a Tarantino fan myself, forgetting the fact I'm a filmmaker, as a Tarantino fan, I like what he does. That wasn't his best film, but it's Quentin, so yeah, it was still good. So I enjoyed that.
Nice. Yeah, he's talented. Oh, thank you, Gemma.
Okay, I've got one here from Sean. Mm-hmm. Sean says, hey guys. Hey, Sean. I watched Eddie Murphy's Coming to America last night for the first time. Do you like these slapstick films? Okay, firstly, Sean, where the fuck have you been? It's 2016. How can you watch Coming to America for the first time?
That was like late 80s.
Like, I mean, like, where have you been? Secondly, I do like slapstick. I don't quite think that one is slapstick, but I do like it. And that was Eddie Murphy's prime, I think. Those were classic films.
I like slapstick.
Do you? I've heard that about her.
I like a slap.
So thanks, Sean.
No, I think that physical comedy is one of my favourite. And it's kind of, you know, you can't beat like silliness.
Yeah.
Just for relaxing, a fart joke or someone falling down the stairs is going
to
get you.
I'm not partial to fart jokes.
You're not partial to a bit of poop joke?
No. Because poop and me, I don't like poop, man.
You've had three kids, so you're just off it now, aren't you?
I'm just off poop,
like,
man.
No!
Meanwhile, Johanna's like, yeah, scat porn. Right, I've got... You do the next one.
Okay, right, this is from Tom in Brighton. Oh my God, have you watched Westworld yet? It's amazing. I love the film from the 80s. The TV show on Sky is great. Ed Harris, Anthony Hopkins are brilliant. Well, actually, Tom, I was going to speak about this later because it is on my top to watch.
Yeah, it's great.
TV show things, because my dad showed me the original film, which... Was it 80s? I thought it was in the 60s. But basically the premise of... Have you ever seen the original Westworld?
No, I haven't seen
it. So the premise is it's this... like a Disney world of the future, and they've got three or four different worlds. So there's like medieval world, mm-hmm. where everyone dresses up as knights and princesses. And then you've got Westworld, people mm-hmm. dress up as cowboys. And it's basically the day when Westworld goes... The robots... That
go
run.
A little bit, okay, no spoilers.
No spoilers. But they've made it into this new Sky
I'm
TV show.
I'm enjoying it.
Show.
My friend's in that.
Really?
Luke Hemsworth.
Oh.
He is a good friend of mine, and he is the third Hemsworth brother.
There's a lot of those hot brothers.
Well, I don't find them as hot as you might, because I don't
Chris
swing that
Hemsworth
way.
Plays,
but if I did...
He plays Thor, Chris Hemsworth.
Chris Hemsworth plays Thor. Liam yeah. Hemsworth is from The Hunger Games and Independence Day. And Luke, who is my buddy... I mean, I know all of them, but Luke is my buddy.
Yeah.
He is now in Westworld, which is great. Great for him.
Good.
Love you, Lukey.
Yeah, so I go check out if you've got Sky, if you have Sky or Sky Go, or if you know someone who knows someone, then get in on that. Get on the Westworld.
Okay, so I've got one here from an email from Jacob. So, oh my days, Noel. Yeah, your films, Kiddohood, Adulthood and Brotherhood, are truly inspiring films that are going to be standing the test of time. Mm. Arnold Ocheng, the guy who plays Henry in two of the films, is a substitute teacher at my school. Such a legend. Love your work. Keep it up. Jacob in year 11.
Cool. Thanks.
Jacob, you got homework to do, mate. It's 6:30. Get on with your homework.
Get it done. No, get amazing.
But, thank you so much, man. I mean, obviously, I'm a filmmaker and I make films and, you know, that's what I do. And some of them are socially relevant. And I always appreciate it when you guys are enjoying them. So thank you very much. But now do your homework, buddy.
Now do your homework. Right, we have got our second guest, Tom Meaton, actor, in. So we're going to pop to a song. We're going to get him cosy in the studio.
The Ghoul.
From The Ghoul, the new film, The Ghoul.
Yep.
So we are going to pop to the next song. This is Run by Tiggs the author, and it was...
Guys, please help me here.
It was in the new Bridget Jones.
Tell me you don't like these songs. Please help me.
I ran away from fighting, but they made me stronger. You can call me Rana. Freedom is power. Every time I let loose, I get this situation. I'm sorry, Miss Officer. Don't take me to the station. Run, 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 run. Tryna be civil, always stuck up in the middle. Put my head inside a pillow till I'm feeling like bum 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 bum. Check you out, head up in the clouds. Nothing in this life is ever bringing me down. She said,
don't you ever run from my love, but you still run,
run, run, run, run.
Describe it.
It comes out and I can't get rid of it. And it hollows you out and it clings to you. Other people can see it. They see it on you and they're frightened to come near in case it leaps off you and onto them. So they stay away. And that's what it wants.
It hasn't beaten you yet, Christopher. And it's been trying for years.
Spooky stuff. So that was a clip from the new movie The Ghoul.
Wow.
Which is currently showing at the BFI London Film Festival. And we are joined in the studio by actor Tom Meaton and the executive producer of the film, Diraj Mahay.
That's right.
Woohoo!
Well done.
Okay.
Hey guys.
Thank you so much for coming in.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
No problem.
Brilliant. So have you been to a screening at the BFI yet, or are you, when's this film going to be showing?
Our film The Ghoul is showing tonight, actually.
Tonight, okay. Competition.
9 p.m. Competition time.
It's 9 p.m. It's like, ready,
set,
go.
Yeah, we're tonight and we're also Sunday afternoon.
Oh,
we're,
nice.
And what time is Sunday afternoon and where?
We are at, tonight is at the Cineview in Haymarket.
Okay, guys,
and
there
you Sunday go. Afternoon it is on at Picture House Central at 2:30.
Nice. 3
o'clock.
3 o'clock.
Get there at 2:30.
Get
there at 2:30.
Yeah. Yeah. So you hear that, guys. The Ghoul at Picture House, 2:30, Sunday.
And so for people who are listening who haven't come across The Ghoul so far, can we just give everybody a rundown of a synopsis of what
the Ghoul is? Because the name is a little misleading.
It is
some people might be like, goblins and stuff like that.
I know, yeah. I assumed it was like a horror.
Yeah. I guess the insinuation is it seems like it might be a full-on horror.
Exactly.
But it's more of a mental horror.
Mm.
And I play the lead in it called Chris, who ostensibly starts out as a detective, but things, including his own mind, unravel and it becomes more about a mental horror. And he's like he's been manipulated by people, and he's basically in the process of a breakdown. And the film itself unravels as his own mind unravels, if you like.
Yeah, great. So and when did you guys actually shoot this?
We actually shot it 2 years ago.
Oh, wow. Really?
So we've taken a little while to. We're quite low budget. Don't
mind
admitting.
Small film. It's a very small film, so it's taken a while.
I've been there. You know, I know about that stuff, and I feel like what we do on the show sometimes is we want to school these people that are an audience that want to get into the business about the process. So, you know, Kidoku, for example, was made in 2004 and didn't come out until 2006. So very similar journey to you guys' film. So just explain the process. Tell us exactly what happened in that process quickly.
Well, we as I said, we were low budget. We actually shot the film a couple of years ago in 10 days. Mm. Most of the dialogue heavy scene. So it's very, very quickly. That's very amazing. Rare. For people that don't know, that's kind of, you know, almost unheard of. Mm. And we had a few days of sort of pickups of following me around the streets. Around Hackney and places like that, wandering around, but that was a small setup. And then, because we were low budget, we had to drive a lot of this stuff ourselves,
of course,
and a lot of favours and help from people, which is why it took a lot longer. A lot of films with a bit more money can just sort of pay for these and push these things through.
Yeah,
underdogs.
Yeah, exactly. Fight.
So it must have been great that you got into the festival for you guys.
It was amazing, and it was a surprise. We're not going to lie. I think we couldn't believe it when it got in, but I think at the same time, you know, we're really pleased to be there. And I think it's a very London film, I would say. Mm. So.
It is,
for
yeah.
us, we couldn't it's our world premiere, so we couldn't really ask for a better place to premiere.
I mean, don't be surprised, guys. It's a testament to the talent, you know. And I think, like, sometimes festivals can see, you know, when films are not always going to get those massive releases, they can see when people have put their passion and their fire into making a film and really have believed in it themselves. You can see that on screen, you know, and I think that's
nice to hear.
I think it's also because, as you know, if you're working with a low budget, you everyone has to put more effort in.
Exactly.
So you have to have a lot of, and Gareth, who I think you might be speaking to shortly, is the writer director, and he put his heart and soul into this and had to push it at every level to make it. To make it happen, and at every level as well, because you finish it and then there's a whole other push to get it to the festival itself.
And I think it's a film which was from the off very much outside the system, and so that's why it relies on everyone buying in and investing. But I think that's why we're really pleased to be in the festival in a way, because, you know, it's been truly independent in every sense of the word. Sure. So for us to now have this platform, you know, we're just made up, really.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And it's an unusual and really interesting film, because all the way through you're never sure, because it plays on what is reality and
no
mental health.
No spoilers, but
essentially, the premise on the synopsis on IMDb is like it's a detective who's going undercover, and he goes to see a psychiatrist, and then through that process of therapy starts to wonder which reality is real. Mm. And as an audience member, you're sitting there going, oh no, that's definitely real. No, that's definitely real. Oh no, is it? I don't know. And you start to maybe, you know, it just makes you double think everything and double guess everything.
Great.
So it's a good little, you have to really have be on the ball to watch this film.
It's quite dark, it's a challenging you know, you have to make it, the character loses his mind, and I think Gareth wanted the audience to lose their mind slightly as they watched it as well.
And Tom, what's your as an actor when you're playing a part like that, where you do have to kind of have, without giving too much away and not necessarily literally, dual realities and all that sort of stuff. What's your process when you're doing that?
Well, I think because I've worked with Gareth quite a lot, the director, writer, and so we worked a lot through each scene individually, because I've usually done quite a lot of comedy in my career. So this is sort of the first serious role I've been sort of titting about on stage for many years, getting my balls out and all sorts of things. Yeah. So
feel free, you can get them out here, you know.
It's a free show.
You've got a webcam though, right?
Yeah.
Hey, stage, webcam, 10,000 people, a million people, hey. You know?
I mean, it was an amazing opportunity for me to do a series.
Serious chops.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So I was very privileged and just sort of, just worked really hard with Gareth to get it right. And that you're exactly right, that sort of dual reality was just sort of, I mean, to be a lead in a film and almost a play, two separate characters, is sort of, you know, unheard of in a way. So
Has the film now that it's getting exposure, and have you had any sort of connections to mental health charities or working alongside?
No. So I think, like, so the mental health aspect's a really strong aspect, and it's something that, you know, is very true and very dear to the people involved and the way the film was conceived. I think that for us, though, there's lots of aspects, and we're kind of wary about kind of foregrounding one over the other, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So there's also an aspect of magic and the occult and stuff. There's, like, you know, it's a detective story. And I think the influences for Gareth, he can speak about this more himself, but, you know, he's into Lynchian-type films and early Nolan films. And so I think we were very conscious that, even though we wanted to kind of have that theme in there, we didn't want it to appear like an issue film, really. We wanted it to take that and actually do something different with
it. Yeah, it is actually, when you say it, is sort of early Nolan-esque,
exactly,
isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, Memento and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, the following was one of his early ones.
That was the before Memento, that's the one he shot here.
That's right, yeah. And I know Gareth was sort of inspired by that as well a bit, I think.
Great, okay. Yeah. Fantastic. And so when you, just for the people that are listening, when you make a film like this, obviously you have the process now, you've waited 2 years, but, you know, have you guys yet got your distribution?
So we're in the process. We're in the process. So the honest answer is no. Basically, we're still in discussions. So I think for us, we're really proud of the film, and we think it will definitely get picked up and have a life. But for us, we're not worried about it being a commercial film so much. I think for us, it's just finding people who get the same vision that we should talk after.
I know some people.
Okay.
We'll talk after.
Now we talk. It's
a business meeting going on
deals.
Right now.
Yeah.
But no, I mean, unfortunately, this week I've been doing lots of film reviews, and it's just happened that I've had a really intense week of films. So I saw The Ghoul at the end of, I've watched The Nocturnal Animals, the new one that's coming out. Yeah. It's so dark. So dark. Right. And Porto as well, which is quite on the dark side of life, so I'm just feeling a little bit like
a little bit bleak.
So I just need to watch a little bit of someone being silly, getting the balls out on stage, I think.
This can be arranged
or on a radio show.
Feel free.
Was it important to obviously we'll speak to Gareth.
Gareth, we'll speak
to Gareth, but was it important, do you feel, that it was set in London?
I mean, I think in some ways, I mean, it's a bit of sort of a cliche of a thing, but I'm going to say it anyway. It's like the city is almost another character within the film, and because it is about this, my character is kind of quite isolated, and he suffers quite a lot. He's very isolated within London, and I think there's quite a lot of people that could probably relate to that. Like, you're surrounded by
people, busiest place in England, and yet the loneliest can be, and if you don't have those
Some might say that that's why, in a way, isn't it? Because you're surrounded by so much life, yet in your own mind, you can be as lonely as anyone.
Yeah.
So that's sort of an interesting thing that was
explored. It's a very stylized London as well, isn't it? I'm from London. It's not a London I would recognise, but I do relate to it straight away as well.
Yeah, I didn't initially know. Some of the main London scene, like the bridges and stuff, I knew, but the rest of it was sort of general.
Hackney.
I didn't know it was Hackney.
Yes.
That's cool. And how was it to act with? Because I was so impressed and engaged with the actor who played the Fisher, the psychiatrist.
Oh, okay. Yes. That's Niamh Cusack.
Yes. And how was he to act with?
Imagine Tom was like terrible. I could not stand
really bad.
Oh no!
You're talking about Jeffrey, I think.
The magic one.
You're talking about Jeffrey McGiven, who gives this brilliant. I mean, he's a psychotherapist, but also he's almost in some ways like a not quite a wizard, but he's
into the spiritual.
Yes, absolutely, and into.
Because he was on the little sound clip that we played before.
He was, yes.
And I was like, I want him to be my psychiatrist. He's great.
He's absolutely incredible. I mean, you know.
Always having tea. I mean, how many cups of tea did you drink?
A lot of tea. A lot of weeing going on in
there. So many. Every scene, it was like, tea. Would you like a tea? Let's have a tea. Let's have a tea. That's British psychiatry for you.
He's absolutely brilliant. And he was actually in the original radio version of Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. Playing for Prefect. So he's had this brilliant history. Again, a little bit of sort of comedy.
Yeah.
But he's absolutely incredible. And he's mesmerising.
Yeah, he was brilliant.
A mesmerising performance. He's got some brilliant lines in it as well.
But as well as Tom, the rest of the cast come from a comedy background.
Because that's our connection. So we, in casting it, because I helped produce it as well. So in casting it, we, you know, as you do, you want people you trust if you're doing something low budget, and also people you know you're going to do a good job. So we've got Alice Lowe in it, who's brilliant, and Paul Kay, Rufus Jones, Dan Skinner. or lots of sort of.
So that was a conscious choice, and I'm guessing a lot of the actors wanted to play something and do something quite serious
yeah.
as well.
Yeah, I mean it's kind of a lot of comedians go, all right, I'm going through my serious phase. It's very serious.
I can do.
But I think it's an exciting thing to do. I mean, one of the reasons I got into this sort of industry was to do as many different things as possible.
Sure.
And that keeps you alive, doesn't it? So that was that's definitely everyone. Said yes immediately, luckily, because of the
great.
Sort of scope of the script, and they're very excited about
that's
it.
Great.
Well.
That's great. That's mm. great. Yeah. All right. Have you?
Yes. Well, what I was going to say, I think we're going to pop to a quick song.
Yes.
And then after song, if you guys want to stay in the studio, because I have we have a weekly challenge, just guess the TV theme song, and I think if you're up for playing,
oh Jesus,
they'll be yeah. They're from the 70s, have a little bit of.
And then
we're going to speak to Gareth. So I'm going to pop to a song. This is Electric Love by Burns, again from the Nerve soundtrack.
Ugh.
Shut up, no. Merlin from my mum who said, I sent Noel a bar of chocolate.
No, read the top part of it.
This is Johanna's mum. I sent Noel a bar of chocolate. Did he get it or did Johanna eat it? Love the show, Mrs. Bennett.
Mrs. Bennett, my darling, you can probably hear I'm eating the chocolate
He's
bar right
eating
now.
It now.
So thank you very much. Your other daughter did try and hide it, but I've got it. And I love the chocolate, and I know you love chocolate too. So
she does. She loves
I'll
the black man.
I'll be around later.
So, right, okay. We found out that Gareth, the director of the film The Ghoul, he's actually on the line already, so we're going to go straight to him and then
Fantastic.
We can have fun and games. So let's see if it works again. Gareth, are you there?
I'm here.
Yes.
Hello.
I'm
Gareth.
So excited when the technology works. Welcome.
Gareth, we have your actor and your exec here.
Hello.
I wondered where they'd got to.
Got the whole family in. So we've just been speaking about the film and the process of it. And so from a director's point of view, how did you get involved and sort of where did it all start for you?
Well, he's a director.
Yeah, but
I am the director. Yeah. But it's a good question nonetheless. Because I wasn't a director who was hired onto this project. I basically kind of just sort of induced the whole thing to happen because nobody else was hiring me.
I would hire you, mate.
So I thought, let's go for it and make a film.
Fantastic. Let's make a baby. Yeah.
Yes, I thought I'd make a baby with Tom Meaton. And 2 years later, we have one.
The baby's clearly got your look, sir. I'm after. So Gareth, tell me. So you were an actor.
Yes.
Are you still acting, or have you? And now are we just directing now?
Noel, I am available for any part that is out there.
Can you do Roadman?
Johanna,
Can I do Roadman?
She's taking a piss because I do Kidhood, and she thinks she's hilarious now.
I'm available for any part. Availability is actually on my CV, my skills.
Available.
And when did you
available?
When did you decide? When did you first decide that you were like I did many years ago? When did you first decide that you were gonna sort of go for the directing as well?
Well, I decided quite a few years ago, but the industry also decided that they weren't necessarily interested. So as you probably know, Noel, it's hard to get films off the ground.
Very, yes, I do.
So for that reason, in the end, I just decided to just go for it with a very small amount of money, and I was lucky enough to know Tom, who was up for it and game. I said, you know, let's do this. Me, Tom, and the producer Jack Gutman had made a couple of shorts, and we just said, you know, none of us are getting any younger. Let's make a feature film.
Yeah.
Let's just do it.
Yeah, and that does happen. And I do know. I think the same process was with art with one of my first ones where we just went for it because nobody wanted to do it. For you, what was it you wanted to say with this film? What do you want people to take away from it?
Well, I guess it's hard with any film to,
apart from Tom's dazzling good looks, clearly.
Apart from putting Tom Meaton on the screen, which was long overdue.
Yeah.
Apart from that, I guess it's hard to say where a film starts, and it's always a bit of a just-so story, but
you said this idea wouldn't leave your head, it kept coming back, so
exactly, it has to be like that, I think, doesn't it? It has to be something that you just feel has to be made. And I wanted to make a film about depression in a way, or at least about mental health problems, but I didn't want to make a film that was depressing. And if you make a film about someone who's going through depression, it might end up just being somebody sat in a room staring at their shoes, which apparently nobody wants to watch. I've been told.
I'd watch that.
If
it was Margot Robbie,
you and I might. We'd be the only ones there. But we found we sort of tried to look for a way of wrapping up those themes in a film that was a thriller, that was a mystery, that was a love story, as it turns out, and kind of giving the audience more of a kind of enjoyable experience, and then sneaking those themes in there along the way.
Sneaking them under the
radar. Fantastic, fantastic.
And what's next for you? Have you got projects in the pipeline?
Well, I don't know. We're flat out, because we're such a small scale production, we're flat out just doing everything there is to do with getting the Ghoul out there. But I guess that I'd like to do something, because of the budget constraints of the movie, it's quite a sort of, for better or for worse, it's quite a cerebral film, and I'd like to do something that's a bit more, that's still clever, but a bit more physical and a bit more, got a bit more action in it, which you just really can't just quite do on a tiny, tiny budget. So if someone's nice and gives us some money, we'd love to do something that's, and the next idea is a bit more physical and a bit more visceral and a bit more kind of moves around a lot more.
Send it in, man. You know our producers. Send it in, buddy.
Send it in. Your script.
I'm going to hold you to that.
I'm serious. I'm 100% serious. I never joke. Send it in. I'll get them to give you my email address. So one last thing I want to ask you, because I get asked all the time, and I always think it's important to ask, and this is for all three of you, because this show is a film show, and we like to, you know, kind of school the listeners as well. You've done it. Regardless of how tough it was, you've actually done it. What advice would you give to people that are trying to do the same? Apart from just do it, like what advice would you give people? And I'll come to all of you guys with this.
Yeah, I mean, it's sort of, it always is that, isn't it? But I used to, when I was, you know, younger, even younger than I am now,
I used to hear people go, you know, just get your camera and just go and film, man. And it used to really kind of annoy me. But it is, sadly, I learned the hard way, that is all you can do. And it doesn't necessarily mean a feature or even a short film. I think the thing that I learned was I started off trying to make shorts with very, very mixed results, and it took years to make just a handful of things, you know, two or three things. And in the end, I just realized I really, all I've got is the resources to make clips and little sketches and little bits of things. And the internet is great because it just gives you at least some platform to put them out there. The only way to learn is to start a project, do it, finish it on a deadline, or even if you miss your deadline, at least you get it finished eventually and do the next one. Yeah. And in the end, you know, stuff just joggles loose and you position.
Oh, I think the line's gone.
Are we losing you?
He was just about to get to the...
He was going to get to the secret.
The secret of making movies is...
So we've lost you. Well, apologise, guys.
I think we've lost Gareth.
We've lost him there.
Okay.
I'm back.
Oh, you're back! Yay!
Timing.
Yay.
Great. So, we lost you for a second there. But, I got it. So, mate, thank you so much. We're going to ask Tom the same question. But thanks, Gareth. Mate, it was good.
Thank you.
Thanks,
yeah.
Gareth. Well,
good to talk to you.
Amazing. Yeah. Thank you for being on the show.
My advice would never be to work with Gareth. No. Now he's gone. No, actually, I would. My advice in terms of trying to make a feature is the first time I've done it. But I think a strong thing from making this film was working with people that you trust. It's a real challenge to make something, especially on a low budget. If you can get some work with people you trust and know, then I think that gives you a real strength behind it. And my second bit of advice is the idea, really, and the script. You know, it's got, lots of people say script is king, and it's just sort of making sure that your script is as strong as possible. And that was definitely one of the strengths of Gareth's film, which has meant that we've ended up with a really good end product.
Yes, and
well, to echo, I suppose, I think like the team and the group of collaborators to move with, and I think Gareth's script's a very interesting case in that. In some ways, it's a series of two-handers. So in terms of actually getting people in to work on it and structuring it and stuff, and in the end film, hopefully it doesn't feel that way, but it was actually quite achievable on the budget level. And then the other thing, I suppose, it'd be important for us to acknowledge, like, there was some money coming to the film from a charity, essentially. It's the Cinema and Television Benevolent Fund, which is the trade charity for film and TV industries.
Wow, okay.
And they have a strand called the John Brayburn Award, which is to develop talent who might not otherwise have an opportunity to move forward.
Yeah.
That's fantastic, yeah.
So I think, you know, without their support and that seed at the beginning, the film, again, might not have come to fruition the way that it has. So that would be my other kind of very specific piece of advice, is look up the John Brayburn Awards from CTBF.
There you go,
well.
Guys. Look up the John Brayburn Awards.
Cool.
And this film is screening?
Tonight, 9 p.m, Cineworld Haymarket.
And...
Sunday the 16th at 3 p.m. at Picture House Central.
I saw the terror in your eyes. Like, yeah. Oh, I know.
My mum and dad are coming to that. So,
right.
Guys, thank you so much.
Thank you so much for coming. Are you happy to stay and play a game with us?
Yes, please.
Otherwise, right. So this is Guess the TV Theme Song. So I'm going to play some themes. I've got the answers written down here.
Got how many last week? 15?
What do
we do? Just jump in when we know it.
So if you know it, just buzz it in.
Okay.
Sometimes I haven't got them this week, but sometimes I have these horrible flavoured jelly beans. If you get it wrong, you have to eat a minging bean.
Because you ate them all like my chocolate bar.
Okay, you have your chocolate. Right, so TV theme number one.
Simpsons.
Okay, not one that round.
Clark out here.
Amazing. Okay, I'm going to write down.
I'm like Usain Bolt.
Okay.
I see, it's like that, is it?
So Clark, Clark, you got another one.
He's got the balls out for the table.
Number two.
Doctor Who. Boom! Oh.
Clarky got two.
We'll start Clarky, by the way.
Okay.
I'm going to really start concentrating.
That wasn't kind of fair. You were in Doctor Who.
Star Trek. Oh, he hasn't done it.
Number three.
Friends.
Oh, okay. I'm going to give it to Tom.
Yeah,
got
Tom
in
got
there.
That. He did.
Right, ooh, let me get my papers in order.
That's a great song, man. Did the Rembrandts ever do anything else?
No need. Just retired straight after that.
EastEnders. Yeah. God damn it. Yeah.
I'm in it. Yeah, it's a Raj kind of one, thank you.
Raj.
because he's an East End boy.
From an East Ender.
Yeah, he knows it, man. Lives it.
There you go.
It's on TV.
Oh, is it that detective who's in Jamaica?
It's Benidorm. No points to anyone on that one.
Paradise.
Fresh Prince.
Yes.
In West Philadelphia. No. Born and raised.
Oh, the playground where I spent most of my days. Right. Okay. Number 7.
Baywatch.
Yes. Well done, Noel.
This is how we do.
No, don't worry, you've still got plenty to catch up on, guys. Number 8.
Family Guy. Oh my god, he's on fire. Okay, he's on fire. Right. You guys are terrible.
5 points to know. Number 9, which is.
Coronation Street. Oh my lord.
How'd you get that with the first 2 buckets?
Listen,
can you see my results?
I'm a filmmaker. I immerse myself in TV and film. This is what I do.
You just watch telly all day.
Watch telly.
Big Brother.
Tom, you nearly had it there, though.
Yeah, I know. Well, yeah.
I actually love this song.
No, it's terrible. Can't stand it.
Right, number 11.
Only Wears Essex.
Yeah.
Oh my lord. You might as well go home, guys. Get out of it.
Number 12.
Game of Thrones. Oh my god.
You can see my paper. I
can't see your paper.
You got your glasses on. You can.
I can see your pants there.
Right. Oh, whoops. Okay. Right. Number 13.
X Factor.
Alright.
Tom, I'm disappointed in you.
I'm disappointed in myself.
14. TV show. Series. So the new series has just come out now. Zombies.
Walking Dead.
Yeah, I was giving it to them.
You were very, very kind to try.
And number 15. Big show. Nobody
Downton
got
Abbey.
It. Yes!
Oh, that was a total guess.
Damn it.
It was Downton. Amazing. Well done. Okay, so Noel, you got like 11.
I'd like to think I won a psychological victory in the end.
You may be a great exec. You were a disgrace at this TV game. A disgrace.
You were so busy working on the
goal. So busy executing those movies, eh? I'm so busy. Ooh, hello, I'm executing movies. I can't watch television.
Go and do your homework for next year.
Okay.
For the next film. No, cool. I want to play the game too, but I always set it up. So one
next
week.
One week.
Can you set it up so I can play?
Yes.
Because it just gets boring with you winning every time.
Yeah, that's how I roll, man.
Cool, right.
Box office, winning.
Just winning at life. Right, okay, at least your chair. I'm going to break your chair again. There we go.
No.
Right, we're going to play another song. This is from the Kingsman soundtrack again. It's Give It Up by Casey and the Sunshine Band.
Thank you so much for coming. Go watch The Ghoul, guys. Go and watch The Ghoul.
Watch The Ghoul tonight.
Johanna James and Noel Clark on FUBAR Radio.
How about that one? Classic.
That wasn't too bad.
Give it up.
That wasn't too bad. I'm still eating Johanna's mum's chocolate.
I know, man. My mum loves a bit of chocolate.
Waiting for the day I deliver her some chocolate.
My mum, yes.
I got a king size bar for you, Johanna, Mrs. Bennett.
My mum, dude.
King size bar with nuts.
My mum, she's partial to a man of a chocolate skin colour.
You're in trouble. You're going to get in trouble.
Well, I thought, you know, if any guys out there, if you want to date my mum.
Yeah,
07981.
You are going to get in trouble. I think your mum's going to tell you off for this.
She is.
Your dad might tell you off as well.
Yeah, I know. That's my wife.
I'll be around later, babe. Don't worry.
Sorry, Dad, you're too pale. Okay. Right, we've got Lucy Patterson back in the studio.
Thanks for having me again.
Lucy Patterson.
Time for some film review.
Yeah.
What has everybody seen this week? Time for Club.
Love Club. I'm so excited to be back again.
Film Club.
Well, I actually took my nephew to see Stalks.
I've heard such great things.
Oh my God, it's so funny.
Yeah.
He's only six, bless him. And I was cracking up. Like, yeah. It was just me and a load of kids. And he was looking at me as if to say, what are you doing? No, it's not even that funny. Like,
auntie, shut up.
And I was like, why are you laughing? He's going, it's not really that funny. And I was like, whatever, mate. But it's...
Shut up and eat your popcorn.
Yeah, It's written by Nicholas Stoller, who actually wrote Get Him to the Greek. So it's my kind of humour straight away.
Yeah.
The main character is voiced by Andy Samberg. Again, my type of humour. I just have to hear his voice and I laugh. It's ridiculous. And it's sort of like a little buddy movie, really.
Mm.
Like, obviously, the myth is that Stalks used to deliver the babies. Mm. Or maybe still do.
Mm-hmm. Wait, what?
I've just literally ruined everyone's life.
Yeah.
And they end up... They do that and... They stop for a while and they end up turning into like this Amazon delivery service instead, like delivering fridges and packages and stuff.
That sounds pretty cool, man.
And by a bizarre series of events, the baby making machine gets started up again and they end up with this one child. They have to get to their new family.
Yeah.
No spoilers.
And, you know, that's as far as I'll go with that. But it's really funny. And, like, some of the people they meet along the way are hilarious. You know, you've got people like Jennifer Aniston, Tyra Burrell, Keegan-Michael Key. There's loads of them. It's really, really good. I mean, it's not just for the kids. I would go and see it again on my own.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, okay.
It's funny.
Stalks, guys.
I've heard that the humour in it is on a part. You know Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs?
Yeah.
Did anyone see that?
Mm-hmm. Well, that's Andy Samberg as well.
So it's like a whole... There's a level for the children and then there's another level for anybody who's not a child.
Hilarious.
I've heard.
But to be fair, I am a bit of a kid as well, so I was laughing at the stuff that's supposed to be funny for kids.
Well, I love animation. I love animation.
Well, I've got, as you guys know, because I'm just like a baby making machine, ladies. For anyone out there, I have three boys, and so you know, I take two of them to the cinema a lot, and that sounds like the thing that will be right up.
They would
love
it. Take them.
Yeah, I want to go. Definitely cool. What did I see? So I saw a lot of films.
It Stalks out now. Sorry,
it's out now. Yeah.
Stalks is out now, guys.
Yeah, I went to see A Girl on the Train.
Yeah, so what did you think?
Because of last week you reviewed it, and I was like, yeah, I'm going to definitely go see that. Yeah, it was good. Again, once you've seen it, you know everything, so I don't know if I would watch
it. Have you read the book?
No. I went in completely not knowing.
I did as well, and I think I prefer that. I don't understand the people that have read the book.
I have a question for you guys. Because every girl I meet is like, oh my God, have you read the book? And I'm like, I've never even heard of this damn book. So, like, what the fuck?
To be fair, I hadn't.
Is it a book that, like, you know, I'm not being sexist here, but there are some books that are kind of geared towards... Is it a book that was geared towards women? Because I've never heard of this book. And every girl I meet is like, oh my God, have you read the book? I'm like, I haven't read the fucking book, no.
I don't know. I think it's a thriller, so I think you can...
It's sort of in the same vein as Gone Girl.
Gone Girl.
Which was... massive as well. I mean, someone gave that to me a year before the film even came out.
I read Gone Girl before.
And I was like, why is she giving me this? I don't read stuff like this. And then when I watched the film, I was like, oh, right, that's why you were giving it to me, because it's that good.
Mm.
I think it's just word of mouth type thing.
Okay.
But it is centred around essentially three women.
Mm. So maybe it was pushed.
The women, and it all makes sense by the end of it. These three women are connected. And it's good. I think it's like paced well.
Yeah.
I was interested and then I don't want to give away any spoilers because once you know, I know, I don't want people
to. You can't say
know.
A lot, can you?
But I enjoyed it. I did enjoy it. But it was just. So that was dark film number one for my week. Then I went to see actually the Home for Peculiar Children, Miss Peregrine's Home again.
Yeah, I've seen
did
that.
You? I still haven't gone and seen it.
No, I took my little sister and I saw it a second time and it was just as interesting second time around. I might go as one of the children to the Comic Con because I've got tickets to Comic Con this month. So I'm trying to pick my what character I want to be, and I think I might be the girl who with the lead shoes. Who floats.
Oh, excellent.
And then I went to see...
Yes, Johanna does cosplay.
I do cosplay. I'm a geek, yes. Nocturnal Animals, which is not out yet. It's a new Tom Ford film.
I'm so jealous that you got
so Tom Ford, guys, for you guys that don't know, Tom Ford did A Single Man with Nicholas Holt and Colin Firth. And was there was Oscars up for that, wasn't there?
Yeah. I mean, so the whole premise of the film Nocturnal Animals is it's Amy Adams is like the lead lady in it. And it's she plays this really lonely art, really wealthy in that rich art circle, you know, like the upper crust of arty fashion people. And she has a husband who's cheating on her, and she has an ex-husband who she doesn't have contact with anymore, and he sent her, he was a writer, like a romantic lovely writer person, and he sent her this novel and called Nocturnal Animals, and he dedicated it to her and he said this is like thank you, the inspiration for this novel, and the novel is like the darkest,
really?
Most violent story. So
I love stuff like
so
that.
So the film is switching between the real life, Amy Adams, reading this novel and how it's affecting her, and then you actually go into the story.
Clever.
So it's a story within the story. Yeah. And the story is this young family, which is headed by, oh my gosh, his name is like dropped out of Jake Gyllenhaal.
I love him.
Ooh. So he plays the actual husband, ex-husband in real life, and the lead guy in the movie.
Wow.
And he's going along with his wife. And
I see, because she's picturing him, I guess.
Yeah, she's picturing him, and she casts him, and then she's got, so she's, Amy Adams is a redhead. There's so many redheads in this film. Then there's the wife in the book is played by... Isla Fisher.
Okay.
And then they have a 16-year-old daughter, and they're going along the like the Nevada Desert Highway in the book, and they go head to head with this like car of guys headed by Aaron Taylor-Johnson.
I love him as well. Oh god,
get the mop, someone get the mop.
Someone needs
get
to
me a mop,
ridiculous.
Please,
stop
guys.
Saying all these names.
And this he plays an absolute
sorry, Dad.
He plays an absolute psychopath.
Just rolling my jeans up, hold on. There's water everywhere.
Flood!
Anyway, stop it now. Flood alert.
So they're going side by side in the car, since the premise of the book, and they end up trying to overtake, but then getting offended and then getting knocked off the road. And then there's a punctured tyre, so they can't go anywhere. And they end up taking the girl and the mum away.
Oh, God.
And it's about him trying to get revenge for the attack on the wife and the daughter. And there's a murder mystery.
So much going on. So
that sounds very good. I'm putting that at the top of my list.
It's a good film.
I'm definitely going to go
it's
and
a good
that.
Film, but you're sitting there and it's tense. You're
love stuff like that.
Aaron Taylor Johnson's performance it unnerves you, because you know those psychopaths who are
quite silent, you're not really aware of them.
So charismatic.
Yeah.
Like
Ted Bundy.
So yeah, actually, I'm pretty sure he said that he used him as inspiration.
Yeah.
So someone who you're not sure whether he's someone's like smiling at you, like but they're gonna hurt you, but they're smiling and
unnerving.
Real like kind of like, well, I just wanted to help you change your tire, and I might rape your wife. Like it's kind of like that. Like whoa. And also, I've got to say, I got to give a shout out to the opening of the film. I've never seen anything like it. They had an extended opening of the film, which was slow-mo, older, obese women, totally in the nude, dancing.
I'm there.
Why?
Guys, I'm off to see I'm off to see Nocturnal
He's going
Animals.
Now.
Dancing with cowboy only wearing cowboy boots, twirling a baton and wearing those like marionette head.
Was there a reason for that?
Majorette type.
Majorette, exactly. Yeah.
So hold on, when you say totally nude, boobs out.
As in
what, like waving. What?
So as in
fanny out.
Boobs, fanny, everything.
Out.
Fanny's out in slow mo.
I'm on my way. One of you book my ticket for Nocturnal Animals. We're gonna go tonight.
And
I'm there.
So the opening of the film, you're like, this is bizarre, and it's got these.
But it's hypnotic.
Yeah.
It is. You kind of at first you're really shocked, and then you just can't stop watching these breasts and these vaginas and stuff, and then you realise when it opens out, it's the opening.
What opens out? The
no,
oh, don't be
the
gross.
Camera. And then you realise that it's the opening art event for the lady, Amy Adams' art. Yeah. She's putting on an art event and it's a piece of art that they're filming. So it kind of makes sense. But honestly, everyone was uncomfortable, but also intrigued yeah. and like...
Love as it. To why this was
It
happening.
Was the most craziest episode. I think people should go see the film just for the experience. For
I'm going.
Seeing.
Yeah. Also, guys, you have to remember Tom Ford is a fashion designer.
Yeah, primarily. That's what he did.
So his films look spectacular. Mm. Does it look nice?
It's so fashion and like...
Lovely.
High art, and each scene is, and there's like a mood and a tone, and you can tell that he thought about the makeup, he thought about
everything. Yeah, the whole lot. He's that guy. What else you got? You got someone else?
So Nocturnal Animals was good, and then I went to see Porto, which we've spoken about already, which again was like a love story, but again it's quite dark and heavy. It's not like a happy love story. It's about true, you know, you meet someone for someone and then it doesn't work out.
Yeah.
So I'm feeling a little bit, I think I need to go see Storks.
Yeah, I was going to say, Storks, I think you do. Yeah. You've had a week of it.
I had some nightmares coming from the Nocturnal Animals, and I got to meet, I went to, yesterday even, I interviewed Aaron Taylor-Johnson from the film.
Oh, Johanna. I'm just literally could turn green with jealousy.
I was in the hotel, it was in Soho Hotel, and I was waiting to go in with my little...
I was down there, why didn't you ring me?
Were you at Soho?
Of course I was.
And then suddenly the door flung open, and then this like little redhead ran out and went, "Hi!" And I was like, "Oh, that's Amy Adams." And like she looked at me as if she knew me, like, "Hi!" Oh, and sweet. I was just like, "Oh, dear, hello."
Did you speak to Amy Adams?
Well, she was escorted by like a
entourage.
She was all happy and like, "Hello," but her entourage were like, "Don't talk to Amy." And then Amy walked out. Aaron was still in the room, and then they were like, "Wait, Aaron needs to pee. Mr. Taylor Johnson needs to pee." And like the poor bloke couldn't even go and pee on his own.
Oh, bless.
He had to go, and I was just like, and then he came back in, and then.
Because you two might jump on him if he's on. That's why. That's
absolutely.
I mean, he is. I was worried I was going to fangirl over him because he was like my teenage crush of, you know.
The thing is that you do find within you the calm. You find your cool, don't you, when things like that happen?
Yeah, well, like, because obviously you're cool. I'm sitting here and you're still cool. So,
yeah. People can't actually see me now.
I saw a film called Moonlight.
Moonlight, yeah. Okay.
Moonlight at the BFI LFF, BFI London Film Festival. And this film is interesting because it's a film out of Miami, and it has an entirely black cast.
Ooh.
Now, the interesting thing about that is anyone who's not remotely racist or anyone who doesn't think about it, after 5 minutes, you don't even notice.
No.
Yeah.
You're just watching a film.
Mm.
And it's about this kid who grows up in a rough neighborhood in Miami and from a very early age realizes that he's gay.
Oh my God, I saw a trailer.
Very early age realizes that he's gay. Yeah, yeah. And he never acts upon it. He never does anything really, but a lot of the other kids know.
Yeah.
And it's at three stages in his life. When he's like 7.
Yeah.
Then it jumps to like when he's like 14, when he really starts defending himself. Mm. And then it jumps to like when he's in his 20s.
Mm.
And Naomi Harris from Moneypenny from Bond, British actress, plays his mother throughout the whole film and is a crack addict. And her performance is absolutely out of this world. Like, out of this world.
Wow.
Like, unbelievable for all the years.
Yeah.
And the older kid, what's his name again? I forget what the character's name is. But the older kid is played by Trevante Rhodes.
Trevante Rhodes.
You guys would like the look of him as well.
Yeah.
I think Mrs. Bennett would love it. Yeah.
Google Trevante Rhodes.
And he essentially is one that's tipped to be, like, the next... Like, that guy. Like, Denzel or something like that. And, you know, it's a really powerful performance. Now... I know a lot of people kind of, you know, maybe a lot of listeners or people that would watch my film to be like, yeah, I don't want to watch that. But actually, it's a really interesting insight into rough neighbourhoods and what it's like to potentially be gay in a rough neighbourhood.
Yeah, man.
You know, and it's a really, really important film. And I think everybody should try and seek it out and watch it. It's called Moonlight.
Moonlight.
Sounds good. Moonlight. I will definitely be going to watch that.
Yes, please do.
Also, I've got a couple of VHS reviews that I've watched. Went on to Netflix and had a look what's on there. Because I can't get my American Netflix up anymore, so I'm having to look through what's on the English version.
Yeah, I've got to stop doing that.
Yeah.
They've not stopped mine yet. I mean, I don't have it.
What are you talking about?
So I watched... there's a film called Stargate from 1994.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, it is good cheese. It's good
cheesy.
It's good cheesy sci-fi.
Yeah.
good cheesy sci-fi about like Egypt, if you like, all sort of, it's, how do you explain it? So like Egyptian pyramids with they find a gate, a portal.
Is that a portal? You know, there was like seven, eight, nine seasons of a TV show.
But people don't, people
Stargate,
who are, you know,
G1 or something or other.
But I didn't touch the TV show, but the actual original film I found was really enjoyable. I put it on, my mates were like, yeah, this is The Mummy. I was like, no,
it's not. It's not, wait,
it's not The Mummy. We're going to another world.
It's not The Mummy, you idiot.
We're going to another world, and then there's a really hot girl in it, and I couldn't remember because I saw it years ago, but I rewatched it this week and I thought it was interesting. So if you're looking for something fun and sci-fi,
I might have to rewatch that actually, because I know
hit your Netflix
that.
Guys,
yeah,
hit your Netflix and check out Stargate.
And the other one that on the Netflix is still on Netflix is 12 Angry Men.
Which, I have never seen that, and do you know what, I look at it all the time and it's always on lists of greatest films ever made, and I just never have.
1957, so it's an oldie, and it's actually in black and white, but again, once you start watching it, you forget entirely. And I actually saw the stage show and it was so good, I went and like thought, oh, I'll watch the movie. And it's basically about it's set in the downtown rough area of New York in the 1940s, and it's the 12 jurors on a jury.
Oh yeah, and I've seen that.
And this young black guy gets accused of murdering stabbing his stepdad. And basically, the whole film is the jurors trying to. And it's at the beginning of the film, all the jurors say this guy's guilty. This kid's guilty. He's just from the rough tide of town. He's black. Like he's guilty.
It doesn't matter, whatever.
And then one juror goes, but what if he's not? Let's just take a moment and let's just see if he's not. I'm just saying, what if he's not? And then through the film, one by one, they go through the evidence again and again, and then new things pop up. Yeah. And then by the end of the film, like you don't know, it could be either way. And it's just seeing, it's such a good film. So
is it all contained in the room?
It's entirely contained in the juror's room.
I like films like that.
There you go, guys. This is what we're saying about this show, man. We're teaching you. So 12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
Hit up your Netflix board tonight.
And it could have been made. It's so relevant. Like again, with police and their attitudes towards people of colour and stuff. It's so, and people being prejudiced. It's so, it could have been made in 2016, but it's 1957.
And things like Making a Murderer and stuff like that. You know, that's got people's attention.
Yeah.
You know, these things are the originals. Yeah.
You know, these things can be.
So and it does make you think of you know, when people, so they look up a witness's account saying, oh, I could see from my bedroom window I saw the murder, and then they just pick it apart, and then one person would be like, oh, but that woman, didn't you notice that she wears glasses?
Oh, wow.
And like you can just turn, so something that you think is solid evidence suddenly can just crumble away until, and then basically you just got to judge somebody on, you're just judging them on like what their skin color is.
12 Angry Men.
12 Angry Men.
Check out
VHS
Netflix.
Review.
Lovely. I like
pause
that
power,
idea.
Pause Breaking Bad. Flip out, you know, tonight after you watch The Level on ITV at 9 p.m. then 12 Angry Men on Netflix.
I think that's what I'm
and chill
do.
Don't forget your Netflix and chill.
Yeah, and get some booty after,
just in case you guys, because this is about Rowan Chill, just in case you guys are wanting to chill right now, I thought I'd put in a bit of a chill song. It's a bit of hey, alright, you leave me alone. This is Since I Don't Have You by the Skyliners.
It's better be good, Joe.
And what, it's, if anyone having a bit of a cuddle and a smooch to the radio right now,
smooch,
we're gonna give them 2 minutes 38 of smooch time.
Best 2 minutes 38 of their life.
Okay.
And I don't
Seen the funniest Twitter picture.
That's a good one.
All right, old man.
Oh, sorry, is that me? Is that song finished? Oh my god.
I think that was well romantic.
Hashtag I will save you guys. I will save you.
And you can thank me if you just got lucky. Okay. Right. So for the closing 10 minutes of the show, it's crazy how fast the show just went by. I brought back Cards Against Humanity. We started to play it last week, but we didn't quite get the amount of time I wanted to give it. So, for anyone who hasn't played before, or,
it's fun.
Yes, I'm going to give you guys a bunch of cards.
Oh, so exciting!
I'm going to give you a whole whole load of cards.
Oh, I love your homemade cards. Jahan.
I know. I printed them and cut them out myself, DIY.
She grafts, man.
You do.
There we go.
James grafts.
Preparation.
Okay, so we'll all play. I've got to get some white cards. So, any Cards Against Humanity. So you've got black cards and white cards, and the black cards are statements that I'm going to. State out.
That's
a great explosion there.
State out.
I'm going to state out.
She's going to state out.
And then it's up to you guys to pick out of your selected white cards the funniest answer, and you can submit them to me. And we're going to.
I think you've cut something off this one because I'm sure artsy's.
All right, my cutting and sticking isn't quite, you know.
Good effort, though.
Good effort.
You should save all these cards each time, you know. Do you save them each time?
Yeah, I do.
Great.
Oh, my God, I've got so many choices. I'm so excited.
Okay, right. So. Right, the first question, the first statement is, what's there a ton of in heaven? What's we gotta go?
Here. There's me, there you go.
Okay. Okay, so we've got what's there a ton of in heaven? Masturbation.
Yes. Well, I really hope there is.
What's there a ton of in heaven? Anal beads.
Yeah.
Well, no.
I really hope it's not.
What's there a ton of
Don't
in
lie,
heaven?
Liz, you love it.
What's there a ton of in heaven?
Sorry,
the gaze. Okay. Right. So
excellent.
I'm thinking.
Mate, how many cards are you giving me here?
I think anal beads. I gave you loads. Just I want to give you a big selection. Yeah. I think anal beads wins that one.
Thank you.
Well done. Pop them away. Right. So on to the card number two. Right, we've got lots of little look in here. Okay.
Right, let's do it. Come on.
I'm just picking one.
I'm finding a good one.
In Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about.
Oh.
Boom. What did he think about?
Oh my God, I've got so much.
Bear in mind, I liked Michael Jackson, so, you know, let's.
This is too harsh.
Oh my God, no, actually, you got to say that one as well. That's my choice, but you've got to say that one as well because it's just fun.
Okay, have you got one, Lucy? Have you got one for the team?
I haven't got anything hilariously funny. I'm annoyed.
Okay. Well, I've got. Noel gave me two, so.
Okay, all right. Noel can go have
so,
my go.
In Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about getting naked and watching Nickelodeon.
Oh, man. Oh, man.
Oh, yeah.
One from Lucy. In Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about. Nocturnal emissions.
Poor effort.
While watching Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
Noel's number two attempt is in Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about being a motherfucking sorcerer.
Amazing.
And mine, it might be a bit low, below the belt, but
well,
in Michael Jackson's final moments, he thought about being on fire.
Oh, man.
I had he thought about
Michael,
dying here.
Mr. Jackson,
I
want to point out, guys, I'm a big fan of Michael Jackson.
Oh, is
this is Johanna's game. This is terrible. Rest in peace, Michael.
Well, rest in peace, R.I.P. Michael. But
I know
okay.
You bad. Bad.
I think I'm getting naked and watching Nickelodeon.
That was funny.
That was good. That was well good. Okay, so, right, let's have a look. In L.A. County Jail, mm-hmm. word Ooh. Is you can trade 200 cigarettes for...
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what that is. Okay. Okay.
Which prison is this?
LA County Jail. Word is you can trade 200 cigarettes for cuddling, Lucy says.
You never know what type of cuddling.
Bear in mind, I've heard that LA County Jail is full of black people.
Okay, so in LA County Jail, word is you can trade 200 cigarettes for surprise sex.
Excellent.
Not bad.
Or in LA County Jail, word is you can trade 200 cigarettes for white people. Yeah, white people wins. Brill. Okay, let's have a look. I'm just going to pull one straight out of the pack.
Oh, I should have chose this one. All right. Go.
Right. What gives me uncontrollable gas?
What, you personally?
I don't know. It's just a statement. You got to just go for it. I've got one. Okay.
That is a bit low, actually.
Lucy says, dying of dysentery. That would definitely give you a good job, I guess. I say, all you can eat shrimp for $4.99.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that would definitely do it. I don't have anything. Oh, here you go.
Okay.
Here you go.
German dungeon porn. Possibly?
Maybe.
Depending on when you're putting up your butt.
Well, yeah.
Okay, let's go in for the... Right, what, I don't even know who. What's this?
Yes.
Four. Okay, this is a double one, so I'm going to give you guys some extra cards.
I don't need any extra.
Okay, well, just in case. Because basically, it's a double statement. So I'm going to say, for my next trick, I will pull blank out of blank. So we've got to go for two. So for my next trick, I will pull blank out of blank. So give me two.
Oh no. No,
I will pull.
Okay, this is really, really stupid.
Do you know which order they're in?
Yeah, I do.
Right.
Noel says, for my next trick, I will pull a salty surprise out of the clitoris.
Mate, if you can do that, you've got talent, guys. Let me just tell you that.
Okay.
If you can do that, you've got talent.
So for my next trick, I will pull Barack Obama out of RoboCop.
Fuck yeah, no. Can you imagine?
I will say, for my next trick, I will pull teenage pregnancy.
Yes.
Out of guys who don't call.
Okay. Well, they don't, yes, because if they don't call, they don't deserve the booty, and thus there shall be no teenage pregnancy.
Thus.
That's actually a political statement, yes. Johanna.
Thus. Okay, I'm going to give myself a couple more things because I'm running out. Oh, great. Okay, so next statement. War, what is it good for? What can you make? Oh, that's just so low.
What is my good one?
I think it's good for sexting. Logistically, yeah. What would you guys say? Okay.
War, what is it good for?
It's good for the hustle.
It's good for the hustle, man.
And Lucy says, war, what is it good for? Flying sex snakes.
You never know when they might
be about.
Is that
a thing?
Is that yeah.
Is that like a real thing?
Are there snakes that fly and have sex at the same time? Or is that just like one of your dreams, Luce?
One of my dreams.
I don't know.
Cirque du Soleil.
Okay. What gets better with age? What would we say?
What gets better with age?
I think getting drunk on mouthwash.
Can that happen?
It's got a bit of alcohol in. You have to have a...
How much mouthwash would you have to drink to get drunk?
This is actually not funny, but true.
Probably a couple of... Morgan Freeman's voice does it get does. Better with age.
No.
It does.
I'm Morgan Freeman.
I play God.
This is also true, but not very funny.
Crippling debt. Ooh, that's just... You just put reality back in the room, man.
Reality back in the room.
We're trying to have a bit of escapism here, Nolington. Okay, I think that's the end of the show.
They won't be escapism, because if they go to university and study film, they will leave university with... Crippling debt.
Yes. Oh. Yes. So, hey, kids, have fun. Right, yeah. Thanks so much for listening to the show. We'll be back next week at 4 p.m., 4 till 6, for Back Row and Chill. My last musical masterpiece, Noel, is by Ben. It's called Bender by Bro Safari. Thank you, Lucy, for coming back next week. Everyone go and do their
homework. This is the best film show out there.
It is.
Says the old man in the corner.
Come back next week. We'll see you then.
All right, see you guys.
This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Go to FUBARradio.com for more details.